Take your Bibles, go to Exodus 14. I've been preaching this message to myself for the last 3 hours. I hope y'all can catch some residue off of it, of what's left. I've overthought it, overprayed about it, and now I'm going to try to underdeliver it. I'm going to give you all a little context. Where we're at in the scriptures right now is Jesus, God, has saved his people. Amen? Have you ever been saved? If you're saved this morning, this message is really going to help you. If you're lost this morning, this message is going to do two things. It's either going to draw you to Christ or it's going to send you running away from him. And that's the only two things God really wants to do. Amen? In Exodus chapter 12, if you'll read it, there was a Passover lamb. If you read before that, God showed up to a bunch of slaves, his children who had become slaves to an overbearing leader who thought he was a god. Have you ever been a slave to something that thought it was a god? Amen. Not only for a short period of time, but when the children of Israel seen God come, it had been over 400 years of slavery. Some of you this morning, you've been most of your life a slave to some kind of enemy that makes itself lord over you like it was God. But God showed up and started to do miracles in Egypt. Some of y'all have seen God do work in your Egypt. Amen? He showed up and he done all these miraculous things and he says, I'm God. The same thing happened when Jesus came on the scene. He done many miracles. Then he said, I'm God. And then guess what happened? In Exodus chapter 12, he slaughters a Passover lamb. A lamb without spot or without blemish in the prime of its life. In the New Testament, that was the sacrifice of Jesus. A lamb without spot or blemish. And they took the blood and they applied it to the doorpost. The modern day church doesn't preach about the blood like it used to preach. But let me say it this simply to you this morning. Without the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, you will not enter into the kingdom of God, period. If you are not covered by that precious blood, God will look and listen to you and not hear the only saving grace you have. And he will say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity, I never knew you. But once that lamb was slain in the Old Testament, they put the blood upon the doorpost. There used to be an old song the church used to sing, Is the Blood Still There? It was sung from a point of view of a small child in the house. Golly bum. And it said, Daddy, the storms are raging outside, and the time is going further than we thought. Is the blood still there, Daddy? You know what the Father said? It was applied with loving, tender care. Don't worry, child. The blood is still there. Boy, praise God. That night the blood passed by. The blood passed through. Covered that, covered them. And guess what? The death angel passed by that night and went by. And guess what? Anybody that didn't have the blood applied to their life, the death angel came in and judged them and took their life. The firstborn child. I love that text. I love reading it. I love studying it. I love this. Somebody said, well, were the good people in Egypt, were there good people down there, the Jewish people, were they good? Do they have all their houses in order? I wish some of you this morning would just lean forward. Some of you that really need Jesus this morning, that you would lean forward. There's some people in here this morning. They just came. Man, we made it. But there's somebody in here that needs the Word of God. Do you have your house in order? Could you imagine all the Jewish people down there who didn't do it just right? Is there anybody in here that ever has a disagreement in your household? Any of you ever raise your voice at your wife or your husband? Ever get mad at your kids? Ever got a mess going on in your house and you wouldn't want nobody to come by? Oh, I'm sorry. I'm the only one. Praise God. You know what? None of them houses, it doesn't talk about the people on the inside. It doesn't talk about the contents of their home. It doesn't tell you what kind of house it was. All it said was the blood applied to the outside. And when that angel came, all it did was look for the blood. That's all God's going to do when you get to the end of your life. He doesn't care how successful you are. He doesn't even care how unsuccessful you are. He's going to be looking for the blood. I love this next part in 14. It's baptism time. Any of y'all been baptized in here? Praise God, there's more to it than just baptism. God saved these people and He brought them down to the baptistry, the Red Sea. That's an obstacle. Amen? That Red Sea was an obstacle to God's children. I was thinking when I read this, why does God do the way He does? I mean, He saves us. He saved all the children of Israel. He plundered and robbed Egypt. Did y'all know that? They were so fed up with God wearing them out that they took all the gold and silver and came to the children of Israel who were slaves, who had nothing, and they gave them all their good stuff. You know what they were saying? Get out of here and we'll pay for it. Get out of here and we'll pay for it. That's how awesome it was. But I thought to myself, why wouldn't God, when He saved them, He laid down His life, laid down that lamb, why didn't He just let them walk out the main road of Egypt? Why didn't he just pick them up and take them out? But no, you know what He does? In verse 14, it says, "And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, that they turn an enemy camp before Pithoroth, and between Migdol and the sea, over against Bethsaphon. Before shall ye encamp by the sea, for Pharaoh," verse 3, "for Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, They are entangled in the land, and the wilderness has shut them in. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, that he shall follow after them, and I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord." And they did so. And it was told the king of Egypt that the people fled, and the heart of Pharaoh, one of his servants, was turned against the people. And they said, look in verse 5, and they said, "Why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us?" Sometimes your enemy thinks they know more about you than God does. Amen? The enemy looked at them and said, "Man, they're still slaves. Why aren't we letting them go?" Amen? I was sitting there in my mind as I was preaching this before I got ready. I remember when God first rescued me out of my sin, and I didn't know. I hadn't been too far gone into God, and I've been in sin longer than I've been in God, and I'm standing there, and I'm going, "Goodness gracious, how do I do this? I mean, I know more about sin and living that lifestyle than I do living for God." And the enemy was constantly reminding me of who I was and where I came from. Anybody in here got a rap sheet on you? A rap sheet from the devil tells you all the things you've done and how you didn't do right and all these things. Praise God, he had one on me. And man, I know I'd been delivered. I know I'd been saved. I just didn't know how I was going to get out. It was a big obstacle. God, you know what God did? He took them down there and he hemmed them in. Why is God doing this? And then He tells them about the enemy. The enemy's going to think you're stuck down there. Of course he is. And then he's going to wonder why he's letting all of his best servants leave. Some of you this morning, you done good work for the devil. Amen? But it's time to do good work for the Lord. And he made ready his chariot and took his people with him. And he took 600 chosen chariots and all the chariots of Egypt and came over every one of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued after the children of Israel. And the children of Israel went out with a high hand. And the Egyptians pursued after them all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh, and his horsemen and his army overtook them, encamping by the sea beside Pithoroth and before Belsaphon. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid, and the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. Amen. That's good, right? And then they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt. A little sarcasm here. It's okay. Hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore thou hast dealt with us to carry us forth out of Egypt. Is it not the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, for we may serve the Egyptians, for it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. I love this stuff. Leave me alone about that Christianity stuff. I'll be better off if you did. Some of you thought it'd still be better off to live if you just shut up with that gospel. Shut up with that Jesus. Leave me alone with that. I can live my own life better than that. They're telling God and they're telling Moses, man, we're going to die down here. Listen, when I first came out of sin into Christianity, I thought I was dying. I thought I was dying too. I was dying to myself. Amen? And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not. You might want to underline that one. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Be quiet, stand still, and look at the Lord. Get your eyes off the enemy. Get your eyes off the obstacle. Stop rehearsing who you think you are. God must have thought much about you if he sacrificed much for you. Amen, preacher, it's good. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever. Amen. Ain't that good? The Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. But lift thou up thy rod, stretch out thine hand over the sea and divide it, and the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And I will harden thy hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them, and I will get my honor upon Pharaoh and upon all the host, upon the chariots and upon the horsemen. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I have gotten me honor upon Pharaoh, upon his chariots and upon his horsemen. And the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them, and the pillar of the cloud went from their face and stood behind them. And it came to between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel, and it was a cloud of darkness to them, but it gave light by night to these, so the one came not near the other all night. My goodness, I know it's a lot of reading, amen, I do get it. I'm not done reading yet, but I got to stop here for a moment because that's just cool. Do y'all like the Bible? Man, I love the Bible. The Bible's the coolest book in the world. Amen? I hope y'all get a hold of this right here. But have you ever seen your daddy get mad at somebody and he gonna take up for you? Goodness. Oh, never mind. I'm sorry. Let me explain this one. God and this angel, the angel was being the light, but God was being the cloud by day and the fire by night, and he had an angel up there who was watching over everybody, and they were leading them out of Egypt. Ain't that good? Be a good leader. Get up front and let some people follow you. Amen? God was about to walk over the Red Sea, but all of a sudden, the enemy that God was going to get his glory from had started pursuing them and getting a little close. Goodness gracious. If y'all don't start shouting or something on this, I'm going to go outside and preach in a parking lot. Watch this right here. All of a sudden, God, who's up in front of them, y'all better get a hold of this, who's standing right at the edge of the Red Sea, they can look at God, but they're sitting there complaining to Moses. But all of a sudden, God said, hold on a second, let me take care of this. I wish y'all get a hold of this right here. God starts walking to the back of the line. Goodness. Do any men in here, or do y'all like anything? Like, are y'all visual people? Most men are visual. Man, could you imagine what that was like? I mean, God is way up here at the beginning, and all of a sudden he says, and he starts walking back, Caleb. I'm glad when God gets between me and my enemy. Amen? I love when I've called down God, didn't think he was going to answer, didn't think he was going to intervene, but then I see some movement. But then all of a sudden God says, watch this. Now it's time. Because, man, I'm going to preach to somebody. I could have delivered you earlier. I could have done some stuff earlier than this. But it's got down to the point now. Some of y'all better write this stuff down. It's got down to the point now that the only way you can be saved is if God jumps in. Keith, you know what I'm talking about? If he don't jump in right here, then guess what? Nobody else is going to get any credit. Sometimes God waits till the very last minute, the very last thing to get involved. Because if anybody else got involved right then, they would get the credit. But all of a sudden, God started walking to the back of the line, and I could just feel the Spirit of God in this right here going, there goes my daddy. They messed around and made mama upset, but man, now my daddy's going back there. And you know what he did? If you read that very closely, praise God, God went back there. And you know what he did? He became light unto the saved, and he became darkness unto the lost. Man, if y'all don't shout some a little bit, y'all going to go to heaven. Y'all going to feel like you're out of place. Some of y'all going to get to heaven, and it's going to be so loud up there. Y'all going to be, my goodness, what's going on? Them people saved. It's biblical. It's like a rushing waters. It's like thousands and millions of people singing and shouting. You know why? Because they realize that God did it all. But he said all through the night, all night long, Rebecca, you know what he did? He built a place between the good people of God and the enemy behind. And you know what? They could hear them. They could hear their swords and their shields and their horses and their chariots. But you know what? Golly bum, man. They couldn't get them. Where are they? We can't seem to get to them. God, bum, man, that's God. And then God's on this side. Praise God, you're standing in the light, and you can hear the enemy and what they're doing, but you're standing there going, God, bum, God's good. I should have died. We should be getting thrashed right now. We should be getting killed. We should be going back into slavery. But somehow, God's got between me and the enemy, and he can't get me. Oh, my gosh. Should have got me. Can't get me. Amen. Let's go a little bit further. Where are we at? What verse are we on? 21. Thank you for the heads up. Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back of the strong east wind all the night, and made the sea on the sea dry land, and the waters were divided, verse 22. And the children of Israel went in the midst of the sea upon the dry ground, and the waters were all a wall unto them on the right hand and on the left hand. That's cool. I could preach on that. I'd love to, but I won't. And the Egyptians pursued and went in after them to the midst of the sea, even all the Pharaoh's horses and chariots and his horsemen. And it came to pass that in the morning, the watch, the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of the fire and the cloud, and troubled the host of the Egyptians, and took off their chariot wheels, and they drave them heavily, so that the Egyptians said, let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians. Good Lord, I wish I would get a hold of that, that the Lord's fighting for you. You're not fighting your own battle. Amen? Boy, that's good. And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand over the sea, that the waters may come again unto the Egyptians, under the chariots and upon their horsemen. And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to its strength when the morning appeared, and the Egyptians fled again against it. And the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea, and the waters returned to cover the chariots and the horsemen and all the host of the Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. There remained not so much as one of them, but the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall unto them and their right hand and on their left hand. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw that Egyptians dead upon the sea. Okay, I'm done reading. I'm going to give you three quick points. Are you ready? You can't help how the enemy and the world perceives you. Amen? You might want to write that one down because that's going to help you. It doesn't matter what your sin, what your past, what the world, or what your enemy says about you. It doesn't matter what they think about you. Amen? They thought that they were no good slaves. They thought that we could go down there and get them back at any time. Praise God. The enemy says things about you that are absolutely not true. Amen. When you are saved and born again and following God, even when you don't know or know how God will deliver, you just keep stepping. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, even when those steps scare you to death. Amen. Even when you're standing in a place that you don't think God can deliver. God loves obstacles. Obstacles build your faith. Amen. Obstacles build your faith. And enemies, God loves to get glory from defeating enemies that nobody else can defeat. Some of you are products. You're sitting in this very room this morning. And if I told you, come up here and give your testimony, some of you would come up here and the first words of your testimony would be the things that God has delivered you from that you hid for decades from everybody, but you make it the first three or four words of what God did and how He defeated your enemy. Ain't that something? The enemy will say, hide that, disguise that, cover that. God says, expose that because I want other people to know what I do. Amen? So you don't have to worry about what the enemy is saying about you. That's point one. Listen, you don't know what God's plan for the enemy is, and that's none of your business. Amen? God likes to bring the enemy to the highest pinnacle, to the exposed place, to the place where it looks like you got no hope. He'll bring cancer to a certain place, drug addiction to a certain place, failure to a certain place, financial ruin to a certain place, and then God will say, I brought you here not to destroy you, but to save you very much alive, that I would get all the credit, and I will destroy your enemy openly. God, would somebody help me preach? That same enemy that exposed you openly, embarrassed you openly, ruined your life openly, I will take it and expose it in front of the whole world. When it dies, it'll die an open death. Woo! Man, I don't know what it takes to get you guys off your seat every once in a while, but aren't you glad that your God buried your enemy in front of you? Maybe not all of them, but some of them. Amen? Listen, guys, that army that they buried, that used to be called the 911 of the world. Sounds familiar, right? The 911 of the world was Egypt. If you got in a fight, you'd call down there to Pharaoh and say, could you send me some chariots and some horses and some warriors? When God's people stood on this side of the Red Sea, they said, man, they're mad, they're upset, they're going to destroy us. God says, keep on walking. Keep on walking. Man, I'm going to be honest with y'all. I hope y'all see the Bible like I see it sometimes. Could you imagine them walking through, praise God, they walking through that Red Sea on dry ground, looking on this side, and they're like, man, there's a fish right there. Oh, man, wow, look at there. I can see it. And then looking, wow, what's that over there? Man, that's amazing. And praise God, and not one of them is slipping, not one of them is sliding, not one of them is falling, and they're all just walking through, and God's going, if you'll just keep on walking, I'm bringing your enemy to a place where they think they're going to get you, but I'm going to get them. My God, I'm glad I don't know all the plans God has for my enemies. But I don't have to know it. All I got to do is fix my eyes on Him, the finish line, and keep walking for Him. Somebody asked me recently, who do you think you are? I don't think I am nobody. Amen? I don't call myself a Christian very often or very much. Here's what I did. August 28, 04, I believed that Jesus Christ died on a cross for my sins. That's what I believe. I believe He died for my sins. You know what I did? I asked Him to forgive me of all those sins. You know what He did? He did. You know what then I asked Him to do? I said, God, will You be the Lord of my life? I didn't know I was asking Him that. You know what? I kind of said it like this. God, You can have what's left. That's all I told Him. I didn't say really, hey, Lord, will You be my Lord? I said, God, You can have what's left. I pretty much run it in the ground up to this point, but You can have what's left. God's a great restorer. Amen. He'll take those years that the moth did eat. Amen. Those years the cankerworm ate and destroyed, and he can refurbish some stuff. Amen. And guess what? Then sometimes, sometimes I'm in total submission to what God wants me to do. Sometimes. And when I am, somebody will say, "Man, you're acting like a Christian." And I say, "Yeah." I said, "Because I'm in obedience to Christ today. I really don't have to call myself one. I don't think of myself anything. Here's what I think of myself of. Somebody that God rescued that he didn't have to." Amen. I'm nothing special. I'm not better than anybody else. God just pulled me out of the dirt and the miry clay, set me on solid ground, and the rest of my life I'm going to share who he is. So what that third point is guess what? I can't help the perception people have of a believer. I don't understand the plan that God has for the enemy. And this last one, I really don't even know God's full plan for me. Amen. I don't, and you don't either. You don't know God's full plan for you. But you know what you got to do? Get your eyes focused. You know what God calls Jesus in the end, in the New Testament? He calls him the finish line. Amen. He says, run your race like you're running to a finish line. And keep your eyes focused on him. Every part of the race he has ordained for you to run. If you've ever been in any kind of race, you know if the race is long enough, there are going to be times of every kind in the race. I'll give you a few. It's my favorite. I'll go with my favorite first. Refreshments. Some of y'all are the same way. I remember the first little 5K I ran. I was running, and not tell that whole story. We're running, and then I come up to the first refreshment stand. I almost came to a dead stop. They had bananas and oranges and drinks. And one side had drinks and the other side had oranges and bananas. So I kind of did a loop-de-loo. Don't believe me, it didn't matter. I wouldn't win in the race. I was winning, but I wouldn't win it. That'd be another part. I went from this table to that table, that table. And I was like, man, that's good. There'll be times in your Christian race that God will refresh you. Amen? But then, guess what? There'll be times in that race when all of a sudden that steady decline will turn into a steady incline. And you'll be sitting there going, this stinks. There ain't nobody knows that I'm in this race but me. I could just rip the numbers off, slip off into the crowd, and walk over to the end of the thing and be done. Amen. There'll be times in your Christian walk that you'll want to get out, stay in, don't quit. Amen. There'll be other times when you'll look to your left and your right and somebody will be outrunning you and you'll think they've got you beat and you might outrun yourself. Don't do that. Don't compare yourself to your brothers and sisters in Christ. They might just run this part of the leg right. But ultimately, have your eyes on the finish line. Because when you walk across that finish line, all you're going to worry about is God saying, enter in, my good and faithful servant. Amen? Our lives, amen? God has planned out every heartache, every pain, every sickness, every wellness, every refreshment, every help that you have in your life is what? To God's good and to his glory and to use your life as a testimony of who God is. You should trust it. Some of y'all are sitting here this morning, and this is where I'm going to call. Man, some of y'all are sitting here going, man, did God know that I went to that dark part of my life? That pain where my heart was ripped out and exposed. And some of y'all are sitting here going, I ain't never done that. Stay in it long enough, you're going to get there. Amen. You will have it. God uses that. And some of you go, how will God use my pain if he loves me? Because if he rips your heart out, crushes you, and I'm talking about crushing. There are some things in this life that will crush you. If you will take that heart that's been broke, that life that's been crushed, those feelings and emotions, and if you don't turn bitter, if you'll turn to God and say, God, you must have had a plan. You crushed me. Here's the crushing. God will heal the crushing. and use that crushing and that pain for you to be able to sit along somebody else and help them who do not have Christ and do not have the hope of Christ. Because I've seen some people who've walked up to people who are going through some of the biggest dreadful things in life, and they went through those same things by the help of the Lord, and they walked up and offered flowers and fragrance in a time when somebody else was being crushed. God will use every great and good thing and every terrible and awful thing of your life to help people find Jesus. Be willing to keep running your race. You don't know the full plan of God for your life. Keep running for Jesus. Let's all stand. I hope that message has been a help to you this morning.